Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come up out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lay down or live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the calf. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lay down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Will the children join me up front?
Hey. Hey, buddy. Want to have a seat?
Have you ever heard the word peace? You know what that means? You know, Miss East just read a scripture that's one of my favorite scriptures. It's sometimes called the peaceable kingdom. And it says in there that the wolf shall lay down with the lamb. Does that sound like something you're used to seeing or hearing? Yeah, it reminds me, you ever see the cartoon of the coyote and the roadrunner? The coyote's always trying to catch the roadrunner because he wants to eat him. That's kind of the natural way that those things go. And some animals like to eat other animals. And that's the way we're used to it. But in the peaceable kingdom, it says that they shall be able to lie down together and live peaceably. And that's why on this, when we lit the candle of peace and we call Jesus the Prince of Peace, because Jesus will bring peace to us. And that's something we look forward to, is a time when we'll have a peaceable kingdom and the Prince of Peace is in charge. And then we can all be peaceable, and even lambs and wolves can lie down together. Even coyotes and roadrunners can lie down together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have sent to us the Prince of Peace, and that the world will ultimately be a peaceful place. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Got an acorn? You got you. Here you go.
Thank you.
Our next reading is it from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, beginning with verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our next reading is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we lit the candle of hope. This week we lit the candle of peace. Today's scripture from Romans tells us that we get both hope and peace from the steadfastness and encouragement of the scriptures. What does that mean? First, let's talk a minute about hope. Christian hope is more than wishful thinking. Around Christmas, we might use the word hope as a synonym for wish. Children might say they hope to get the latest game system among their presents under the tree. Adults might say they hope to get everything done on their Christmas list. Grandparents might say they hope they get to see all the grandkids this Christmas season. But these hopes are more like wishes than the hope represented by the Advent candle. Christian hope is the assurance or the promise that God has already told us how the story ends. I once heard a sermon from Columbia Presbyterian Theological Seminary's preaching professor, Anna Carter Florence. She told us that she had an English professor in high school, the English teacher, I guess, who would start the year out by telling the end of every story they were going to read that year. She would gleefully spoil the plot of everything. Everything they were going to read, she spoiled the endings. She would tell them this: now that you know the ending, you can focus on how the author gets there. This is a powerful illustration of how Christian hope works. We know the ending. Now we can focus on the journey. Now we can focus on the details of living the way God wants us to live without worrying about the ending. We have the hope and the assurance that the ending is in God's hands. So with that in mind, we turn to the gospel reading. Wait a minute. The fiery speech of John the Baptist is scary. I thought you said the end was hopeful. Yes, I did. All too often, the fire spoken of by John the Baptist is used to scare people into faith. Repent and be saved or face the fire of hell. This brand of Christianity is sometimes called fire insurance. You better buy into Christian faith to avoid the risk of being burned. The fire which John is speaking of is a fire of purification. The fire which burns away that which is not fruitful. Instead of seeing the fire as burning people, think of the fire as burning away those parts of our lives that hold us back or separate us from God. John says that the Savior will put the axe to the root of the unfruitful tree. Don't think of the tree as a person, but as a habit or a practice that prevents you from bearing fruit. Like a gardener who pulls up a plant that's no longer fruitful in order that the space in the garden might be used by a plant that does bear fruit, Jesus helps us burn away the parts of our lives that keep us from bearing fruit. Jesus helps us lay the axe to the roots of practices that keep us from being faithful to God, that keep us from being who God created us to be. Author and theologian Henry Nouwen wrote about some of the practices and attitudes that God's love in Christ helps us burn away. He calls them the five lies of identity. They are: I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what other people say or think of me. I am nothing more than my worst moment. I'm nothing less than my best moment. We are not these lies we tell ourselves. Each of us is created in the image of God and with a purpose ordained by God. When we allow Jesus into our hearts and our lives, we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn away the parts of us that separate us from the love of God. We allow the Holy Spirit to burn away those parts of us that lie to us about who we are and whose we are. As John the Baptist said, Jesus comes to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. As we see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire. The scripture for today is using parallelism to describe the Holy Spirit. The fire of which John speaks is the fire of the Holy Spirit. So, like the purifying fire, the winnowing fork is a purifying tool. The winnowing fork referred to by John, that is brought by Jesus, looks kind of like a pitchfork. When the Israelites harvested their grain, they would put their grain on a hard surface called the threshing floor. They would then walk on the grain or have oxen pull a special cart over the grain to break the husk. And it caused the hull of the grain to fall away. The broken hulls or chaff was then separated from the grain by throwing the grain up into the air. And the heavier grain would fall and the lighter chaff would blow away in the wind. The chaff was then burned. Each of us has a part of us that separates us from God. Like a protective hull, we have shells that we use to protect ourselves, but which also keep us from deeper relationship with God and deeper relationships with each other. If we allow God to work in us, that protective hull can be broken away and burned away like chaff. The purifying work of the fire of the Holy Spirit can make us what God intends us to be. The Holy Spirit will burn away the lie that we are what we have. No, we're what God made us. The Holy Spirit will burn away the lie that we are what people think of us. No, we are what God thinks of us. The Holy Spirit will burn away the lie that we are what we do. No, we are what God calls us to be. Heard it said that's why we're called human beings, not human doings. The Holy Spirit will burn away the lie that we are our own worst moment. No. God redeems us and makes us whole such that we are God's own now. The Holy Spirit burns away the lie that we are our best moment. No. We are not what we achieve, but beloved children of God who are loved and valued by God no matter what. The end of the story is that God in Christ waits for us with open arms. In the meantime, we travel through this life assured of that destination, and allowing the fire of the Holy Spirit to purify us into the people and the church that we are called to be. That is our fire, and that is our hope. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we now come to the table. This is the Lord's table, and this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Not First Presbyterian Church of Lufkin's table. Not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And all who seek him are welcome here. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is God, is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion servers please come forward? This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Holy One, we have tasted your goodness and savored your bounty. You have quenched our thirst and filled us with good things. We pray that your life and love in us will overflow, filling the earth with your justice, joy, and peace. Now that we have been fed, may we be bread, feeding your hungry children. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise as you're able, and let's say together what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 494, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gathered here in the house of the Lord, let us pray for the coming of Christ's realm. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the peace of the church. Bring peace, O God, to your people. May we live in harmony and love according to Christ's new commandment. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the peace of our communities. Bring peace, O God, to our communities. Teach us to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the peace of the world. Bring peace, O God, to every land. Help us to seek what is just and right and defend the cause of the poor. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the peace of the earth. Bring peace, O God, to all creatures. Hasten the coming of the day when wolf and lamb may live together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the peace of loved ones. Bring peace, O God, to all your children. Bless us with life, health, and prosperity, so that we may praise you all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful and almighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 92. While we are waiting, come.
Oh,
having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Know that the ending is already written. The end, our hope and our assurance, is that God awaits us with open arms. In the meantime, trust the Holy Spirit to burn away the unproductive parts and live like the beloved child of God that you are. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen. Family.